الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all the creation of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. In the previous weeks, we have been discussing the verses, the first five verses revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the Quran made its advent to this earth. And so far we have come up to the end of the second verse. Inshallah, in this today's session, we will focus on the final three verses of the first revelation of the Holy Quran. The first of these, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اقرأ وربك الأكرم, read, اقرأ, read, وربك الأكرم, and your Lord is most noble. So to begin with, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated the word اقرأ. Firstly, at the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. And we've discussed what needs to be discussed over there. But here again we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated اقرأ again. So the ulama, they discuss in this verse that there are several possible reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated. The first reason is التكرار للتأكيد, the repetition for emphasis. That here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing the importance of reading the Holy Quran. And secondly, we find the ulama are saying that the first time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded اقرأ, it was specifically to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it was specifically for the recitation of the Holy Quran. Whereas when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says اقرأ for the second time, here there is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Iqra is not only to read, but to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And read the Quran not just for yourself, but to the entire ummah. And spread the teachings of the Quran and the commandments of Allah in the Quran to the entire ummah. And so in here we find the hukam and the commandment of da'wah and tabligh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. In another place in the Holy Quran, that preach that which Allah has revealed to you. We find here that this was the occupation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the occupation of all of the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, to not only read the book that was given to them, but to preach to their ummah. And so here there is the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only do you read, but you have to also preach to the entire ummah. And our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled this commandment to the best of all expectations and beyond all expectations, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ, and your Lord is most noble. So, again, the reasoning behind these verses, there are various amongst the scholars. The first opinion we find is that here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is further comforting and giving, consoling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his excuse when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially said, ma ana biqari, I cannot read, I do not have the ability to read. Again, the ulama say here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is further giving consolation and comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't worry, yeah, your Lord is most noble, he will ensure that this will not become a barrier for you to be able to fulfill the task that has been assigned to you. And just like this, we find, as just reminding us previously, so many words that we discussed earlier where the ulama say that this word, like for example, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Rabbik at the beginning. The ulama over there, they said that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقْ. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, now the ulama say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that he is, his quality of nobility and of being akram, the most noble, here this is again further comfort and consolation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another opinion of the scholars here is that sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we hear the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to read the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to act upon his commandments, this doubt may come, and this thought may come, just as shaitan attacks us in various ways. He attacks us with doubts and with these evil thoughts and these negative thoughts. And that, this doubt might come that maybe Allah, na'udhu billah, maybe Allah is in need of our ibadah, and maybe Allah is in need of our worship and our recitation and our obedience. So here the scholars say that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that absolutely not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolutely no need for us, neither does our worship benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no. And we mentioned this as well previously in Surah Al-Ikhlas, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Samad, he has absolutely no need for us, and everyone is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to dispel this doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us, and nor does he benefit from our worship. However, we don't deserve any blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we have not done anything. We have not warranted such blessings. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His nobility, has blessed us with so many blessings. The first blessing that Allah has blessed us with is that He gave us existence. The fact that He even created us and He gave us existence, this is a blessing that we cannot repay in itself. After that, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to count them. They are uncountable. After that, the blessings just continue. And inshallah, we will list some of these blessings further today in the session, inshallah ta'ala. Here, the great scholar Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah has mentioned a very beautiful thing. He has mentioned that, look, we have two parties here. We have two beings here. On one side, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is akram. He mentions under this verse, He is the most noble. He has already mentioned so many blessings that He has given us. And He is giving comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there is no need for you to worry. We will continue to do your tarbiyah. We will continue to nurture you. We will continue to support you in your assigned task. So we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is assuring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of His nobility, of His support, of His help, of His nurturing. On the other side, we have the greatest of all creation, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who we have already explained that even at this point of his life, he was the greatest of all creation. He was the best in every field. He had all the best qualities. He was perfect. He had so many amazing attributes. We mentioned earlier about his trustworthiness, about his ability in doing business, about how he was the truthful one, about how he was the trustworthy one, about how everybody loved him, how he came from the highest, the most noble of all the families. He came from a powerful family. You know, all of these attributes of Rasulullah, he never committed a sin, even before Nubuwwah. He never ever did anything that was contrary to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on one side, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other side, we have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perfection in human form. And abilities that one cannot even fathom. Such abilities that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. So Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah writes that look at this package we have. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one side. We have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the other side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the Qur'an. He's giving knowledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via the greatest of all angels. This force, it is absolutely unstoppable. Who is going to be able to stop this force? And likewise, we have witnessed that the Qur'an is here to stay 1,500 years later. Alhamdulillah, Islam is like a wildfire across the world. Islam is on everybody's lips. The Quran is being recited. The blessed month of Ramadan is coming. Already people are starting to pray the Quran. Already people are thinking about Ramadan. You see, Islam is being practiced upon all over the world. Islam is being talked about every single day in the news, on people's lips, social media. Everybody's talking about Islam. 1,500 years later, this force is unstoppable. The work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here to stay. إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ حَتَّى لَا يُقَالُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ اللَّهِ اللَّهِ. The Qiyamah will never come so long as somebody is still reciting the Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Somebody is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that the Islam will continue until the day of Qiyamah. The day Islam ceases to exist, the dunya will cease to exist. So Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah is highlighting the force and the energy that had come from this connection between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the tawfiq to benefit from the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the knowledge of hadith and the knowledge of Quran. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, the one who taught with the pen. Now, the very first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the surah was creation. Alladhi khalaq, the one who created. We mentioned the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this is because it's the first thing that Allah did. He created. The second thing that we mentioned was that Allah then further specified mankind in His creation, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ. Now the next thing Allah mentions is الَّذِي عَلَّمَ, the one who taught. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning knowledge. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention knowledge in the very first revelation? The ulama write that it is because it is knowledge. We mentioned earlier that insan, mankind, has been made ashraful makhlukat. We have been made the best of creation. And what factor is it? What factor is it that makes mankind be above the rest? What factor is it that has made us a preferred nation over all the other animals? They are makhluk. We are makhluk. What is it that separates us? What is it that makes us better than them? What is it that makes us the main species and makes them the subspecies? So the ulama write, it is knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us knowledge. He gave us rationale. He gave us the Quran. He gave us wisdom. He gave us hikmah. He gave us prophethood amongst mankind. He gave prophethood. That's why it is this one factor. If we didn't have knowledge, وَلَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, we would be like animals. بَلْهُمْ أَظَلْ, if not even worse, even more misguided than them. So it was the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us knowledge that gives us preference over everybody else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with ilm nafi, beneficial knowledge. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the pen. Alladhi 'allama bil qalam. Generally speaking, there are two ways that we gain and obtain knowledge. The first way is from the tongue, yani from heart to heart, where we sit in front of a teacher and we listen to the teacher and we take knowledge in like that. And the second way is through the pen, meaning yani through books. You know, we go to the bookshop and we buy a book and we sit down and we read it. And through the book we gain knowledge, which is also from heart to heart, but it is through the means of the book. Yani, the author may be alive, you may have met him, you may not have met him, he might have passed away many years ago. So you are taking knowledge from him, but you are taking it through the means of the book. So here in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned both of these. In the very first verse, Iqra, by reading the Quran, and in the second Iqra, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preaching the teachings of the Holy Quran, we are receiving knowledge verbally. We are receiving knowledge from heart to heart, verbally. And then here, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the second avenue through which we obtain knowledge. And that is through the pen, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who taught with the pen. Here, there's a hadith, Rasulullah, Hazrat Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says, إِنِّي سَمِئْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولْ, I heard Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ saying, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمْ فَقَالَ أُكْتُبْ فَقَالَ مَا أَكْتُبُ قَالَ أُكْتُبُ الْقَدْرِ أُكْتُبِ الْقَدْرِ مَا كَانْ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى الْأَبَدْ أُكْتُبِ الْقَدْرِ مَا كَانْ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى الْأَبَدْ. He says that the very first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen. Now this discussion we mentioned last week about the various different opinions about what was the first thing that Allah created. There's a list there of seven. We mentioned that last week. This is according to this hadith, it was the pen. So he says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the very first thing Allah created was the pen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the pen, Uktub, write. So the pen said, Ma aktubu, what shall I write? So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the pen, write taqdeer. Write taqdeer, write fate. That ma kan, that which has happened, wa ma huwa ka'inun ila al-abad, and that which will happen all the way till forever, till ila al-abad, yani forever. So here again, we understand from this hadith that the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen, which highlights the importance and the position of the pen. In the world, there are three types of pens that ulama write. The first pen is the pen that we have mentioned already, the pen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded to write taqdeer with. And the second pen is the pen that the angels use to record our good deeds and bad deeds. Kiram and Katibin. Yeah, we know about Kiram and Katibin, the two angels that stand on our shoulders, and they write. The angel on the right writes all the good things that we are doing, and the angel on the left writes all the bad things that we are doing. And the third type of pen is the pen that we use in the world. Now, although nowadays the pen, like the physical pen, it seems that technology has transcended the use of the pen, has put the use of the physical pen out of date. It seems like that. And, you know, nowadays, you know, there was a time when scholars, people, lawyers, judges, doctors, everyone used to use a physical pen to write everything down. And that was how the world worked. Contracts were written with pen and paper, stamp. Letters were written from kings to kings. You know, this is how it worked. That was how the Nizam of the dunya was. Now, technology has come into the world and has made everything very much easier. And it seems that we don't really use the pen anymore. Often, even scholars, when we are doing our studying, often we use technology to write our articles. We use technology to send emails, messages to other scholars, to write books. Yeah, we use technology to write books, and then they get published all online using technology. And often an entire book can be written without the use of a single physical pen. However, this does not remove the importance of the pen. The pen is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken qasam on the pen as well. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Yeah, the Imam Sahib, Damul Barakatuh, mentioned in his khutbah today as well, these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the qasam on the pen as well. So it does not in any way remove the importance of the pen, because directly or indirectly, we are still using the pen. Isn't it not ink that we use and we see when we are reading books? Of course it is. So let that doubt not creep into us, and let us still have the importance and respect. You know, the Akabirin, the scholars, the pious people of the past, they had a lot of value for knowledge. And along with knowledge, they had they placed a very great importance on the means, the things that we use to gain knowledge. And this included books, paper, pen, the bench that we use to place our kitabs and Qur'ans on. Among these things was the pen as well. Many stories about scholars, you know, if I saw a pen on the floor, they would quickly pick it up out of respect, that it is through this pen that we gain knowledge today. But we should have respect for the pen as well. One scholar, he went into the toilet to relieve himself, and he saw some ink on his clothing. He quickly came out and he removed that clothing, or he cleaned the ink. He said that through this ink, we gain knowledge. How can I disrespect it by taking it into the bathroom? So this was how far range the thinking and the mindset was of our scholars and our teachers. And it was because of this respect that they had for knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with so much. If we want to also be blessed with beneficial knowledge, we have to consider these etiquettes of respect. As far as I remember, it was Allama Anwar Kashmiri rahimahullah. And I stand corrected if I have taken the wrong name. I will look into it afterwards. But he said about one of the Akabirin, if it was Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahimahullah, that sometimes in the kitabs, in the books, on the sides, on the footnotes, they used to they used to be handwritten before. So sometimes when there was not enough space, the writer, the katib, they would write the footnotes on the top of the page and squeeze it in upside down. So normally when that happens, as students, we just turn the book round and we read it, note it down, and then we turn the book round again. It says about Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali that he wouldn't turn the kitab around, he would stand up, he would go around, he would move himself rather than move the book, out of respect for the kitab. So this was the extent through which our elders used to respect knowledge, books, and all the alat and the avenues through which we seek knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to respect knowledge in this way also. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Moving on, Imam Mujahid rahimahullah has mentioned that there are only four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created by himself with his own hands. And the rest of makhluk were created through the kun. Like, you know, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُونَ. When he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to do something, he says kun and it happens. So everything was created through kun. However, only four things were created physically by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However that may be, however that might be, we don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to physics, we cannot put any commandment on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not know. This is a kind of knowledge that we do not know. This is knowledge that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. So these four things are the pen, the arsh, the jannat, jannati adl, and number four, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. This is according to Imam Mujahid rahimahullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Moving on, another discussion that the scholars have come with is who was the first person to be given the knowledge of reading and writing? Who was the first literate person? So some have said that it was Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. This is according to Ka'ab Ahbar, and according to the in Jalalain, and also Dhahhak rahimullah has mentioned that it was Hazrat Idris alayhi salam, and it's mentioned in other books as well that it was Hazrat Idris alayhi salam who was the first one to be given the ability to read and write. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. The pen, as mentioned already, is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has mentioned many virtues of the pen. Mentions that through the pen we learned so much knowledge, we learned that which we did not know. Through the pen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us min al-dhulumati ila al-nur, from the darkness of ignorance to the light of knowledge. Also, the documentation of all knowledge, be it history, be it ahadith, Quran, Arabic language, nahw, sarf, whatever it might be, all of these things have reached us through the use of the pen. So the pen, as mentioned already, has a very great position and status in Islam. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. He taught mankind that which he did not know. So initially we have, this is the second time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned ta'aleem. The first time was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ, the one who taught with the pen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further states, he taught mankind that which he did not know. So here, the discussion comes up that this عَلَّمَ has been mentioned twice here. So then the ulama say that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are three possible meanings for this. The first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to us that it is not only through the pen, that we have acquired knowledge and that Allah has given us knowledge, but long before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to give us knowledge through the pen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us knowledge. And inshallah, it's on this point that I will complete today's session. We look into this before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us knowledge through the pen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with intelligence. We earlier mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us rational beings. He gave us the ability of rational thinking. And so just with the intelligence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we can deduce so many things when considering and when contemplating on the world around us. Thereafter, along with this intelligence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the makhluqat around us. And all of the makhluqat indicate towards the khaliq, indicate towards the creator. And through these two things, we're talking long before we started to learn how to read and write, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us intelligence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded us with his makhluq. And through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, look, use your intelligence and come to the deduction that everything around us has not come to us except through the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except through the fail, the af'al of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just with intelligence and his makhluq, gave us enough. The giving of the Qur'an, the Rasulullah coming to the world, this was all just extra blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the right path. But without all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us enough for us to be able to come onto the right path and to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The indication towards the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam as well, you know, when he looks at the sun and then the moon and the stars, and then in the end he comes to the conclusion that none other than there can be no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, Ibrahim alayhi salam is using his intelligence and the makhluqat around him to come finally, to come to that conclusion that no, there can be no other God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of all things. And finally, the ulama mentioned that it's such an amazing thing that look, a child is born. The first thing the child does is the child cries, right? When the child cries, the mother knows that my child needs something. Through the way the child is crying, the mother understands what the child needs. We don't understand. We're fathers. We just, oh, he's crying. The wife comes, I know what the child wants. So sometimes the child is crying and the mother says that the child's hungry. Sometimes the child's crying, oh, his nappy needs changing. Sometimes the child's crying, the mother says he's in pain, his stomach's hurting, something's happened to him. Or sometimes the child cries and the mother says he's scared of something, something scared him. But one cry, the child is crying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught that child that when you're hungry, cry. Who taught that child that when you're in pain, cry? Who taught that child that when you know your nappy needs changing, cry? Who taught that child? Did anybody come? Did the nurse come and say to the baby, newborn baby, you know, 1 minute old, that this is what you have to do? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly blessed the child with this knowledge. Such an amazing thing, such a beautiful thing. And then when the child is hungry, the mother puts the child to the breast. And immediately the child knows, first of all, the child knows that it's my mother who will feed me. Who taught the child that it's your mother that's going to feed you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the child. What are we going to do? How can we teach? We can't even communicate with the child properly. But this is what the knowledge that Allah has given the mother. The knowledge that who taught the mother all of these things? They don't learn this in school. Directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, when the mother puts the breast to the mouth of the child knows that in order for me to get my sustenance, I have to extract the milk. Who taught the child this? Amazing, amazing points that the ulama have taken out here. So the point is that through عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ, Allah taught mankind that which he did not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, yes, I have given you knowledge through the pen. But long before the pen came into the equation, when does the pen come into the equation? When a child is 4 years old, 5 years old, they go to school, they learn how to hold a pen, they learn how to do A, B, C, D, Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, and then finally they can start writing. So that's many years later. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I started giving you knowledge from when the moment you were born, intelligence, all of these things regarding a child. So this is the indication that yes, the pen is an avenue, but that came into the equation much, much later. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who taught that baby, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the silsila, the continuity of giving knowledge continues till today, but it started way back then when the child was first born. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up our hearts to the knowledge of the Quran. Inshallah, we will continue with the other two reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated. Inshallah, I'll just finish it off. It'll just take 1 minute, inshallah. And then we can continue with Ma Lam Ya'lam next week, inshallah. So the second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned ta'aleem again here is so initially Allah drew our attention to the pen. Here Allah is taking our attention away from the makhluk, from the creation, and He's bringing the attention back to Himself. That, oh Muslimano, understand that it is not through the pen that you gain knowledge, it's not through the books that you gain knowledge, it's not through the paper that you gain knowledge, it's through me, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you gain knowledge. And this is how it's supposed to be. Throughout our lives, our nazar, our focus should be not be on the creation, it should be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq. And finally, the ulama say that here is an indication and a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that yes, you don't know how to read, you don't know how to write, ma ana biqari, that's okay. Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Allah does not need the pen to teach you. You do not need to be literate for you to gain knowledge. Again, another form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and consoling him that don't worry if you are illiterate. Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Allah will teach that which you did not know. Yeah? So Allah is saying that it's okay, you don't need to know how to read or write. We will give you knowledge. And this is through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the knowledge of the Quran and the knowledge of the hadith and the knowledge that will benefit us in the dunya and the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.